So did you know that the average reader owns 3.6 Bibles in their homes? Well, in individual readers own 3.6 Bibles. I think I take that number up a little bit, and a few of you might as well. There are over 100 million sold or given away for free every year. 100 million. The most widely distributed and best-selling book in the world. Probably every year. The most widely distributed and best-selling book. It must be important, right? There must be a reason that we look to it for our guidance, because there are a lot of good things going on here. So I'm going to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 8 today, and we're going to hear about a Bible that was found hidden away. The high priest Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." When Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, he read it. Then Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out all the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workers who have oversight of the house of the Lord." Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "The priest Hilkiah has given me a book." Shaphan then read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded the priest Hilkiah, Ahiakim, son of Shaphan, Akbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and the king's servant Asaiah, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our ancestors did not obey the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." So the priests Hilkiah, Ahiakim, Akbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to the prophetess Huldah, the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She resided in Jerusalem in the second quarter, where they consulted her. She declared to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, I will indeed bring disaster on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book that king of Judah has read. Because they have abandoned me and have made offerings to other gods, so that they have provoked me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But as the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And because you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your ancestors, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring on this place." They took the message back to the king. This is the word of God for the people of God, and all God's people said, Amen. All right, so that's a little, there's a lot going on in there, right? That's a little heavy. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who saves us and rescues us from all pain. But in the beginning of this passage that I read to you, we have a high priest who has found the book of the law that has been hidden in Judah for some years. It's been hidden away, and nobody wanted to touch it. Have you ever had a Bible sit on your bookshelf and collect dust for years and years and years and never touch it? I think we all have. My parents had this Bible that I will always remember, this big white Bible that they got for their wedding. It was like this, tabletop Bible that you put on an end table, and you just look at it. Like, you don't actually read it, you just look at it. Right? Who has a Bible that has collected dust? I think we all have. But here, this Bible has collected dust for years and years and years, and it's been hidden away and trapped in a little storeroom of sorts, and finally it has been brought out. And King Josiah, they read it. They don't just bring it out, but they read it. And King Josiah tears his clothes because he realized that God has set about ordinances and ways to live life that have not been followed. And he is repentant and humbly comes before God and says, "Oh my goodness, Lord, I am sorry. Oh my goodness, I have failed you and your people and begins to start living life the way he has called us to. I don't know about you, but I have failed the Lord on many occasions. I have failed to live as compassionately as maybe I should. I have failed to live as he speaks in here. I think about the passage that says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and mercy. Are we clothing ourselves in these ways? Are we walking? Are we seeking God in everything that we do? So this book that has 100 million sold or given away for free every year is a book that people risk their entire life for. There's a story, there are many stories, but I heard a story recently about a woman and a friend of hers that had a friend ship Bibles to her home country, and I never heard what that home country is, probably for protection's sake. But they snuck them in mailboxes over a series of years, snuck thousands of New Testaments in mailboxes. And she heard a story that said that both the woman that read it and her whole family came to know Jesus Christ as Savior because of the little New Testaments that were snuck away in mailboxes. People risked their lives. They were arrested in some time and were put before trial, were secluded for 14 days, and put before trial. Every trial told that they may be hung or killed in some excruciating way because of the book of the Word. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Martin Luther. I hope you have, but Martin Luther was one of the first that made dramatic changes in the church. And in 1522, he produced the first German Bible. He took Greek and Hebrew and translated it to German, and that happened before it came to America and was obviously, right, and translated into English. But the first Bible was translated because he thought that every person should be able to have one of these in their homes. It shouldn't just be the priest or the teacher that teaches of the book, but every person should have one to read it for themselves. Isn't that a wonderful gift? So we can all spend time allowing God to speak truth into our hearts and souls, leading us into compassion and kindness, gentleness and love. It's a beautiful gift. But it also brings with it challenges. As every person reads this book, you might read something a little different than I do. You might interpret it differently than I do, and it might seem little and it might seem quite large. I had a mentor one time that said to me, if you try and find a church that believes every specific single thing you believe, you will never find a church. Because we all read it just a little differently. But God speaks through this inspired book, this inspired word, and brings hope and life. I remember when I was in high school, I got my first third grade Bible when I was in third grade, right? Like we do here. And it was a gold Good News Bible. I don't know if any of you have a gold Good News Bible. And I remember getting back to my pew and the first thing I did was flip to the back because there were maps back there. Or like write pictures, you know? That was really cool. And I remember then later in middle school and high school starting to read devotionals. Right, there's books that lead you through the Bible. There's devotionals that might just give you a verse or two and then a whole long paragraph or story about someone's personal life. I mean, if 100 million Bibles are sold or distributed every year, then how many books about the Bible are there? Right? How many commentaries and concordances and Bible studies and devotionals and Christian life books and dot, 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 do we have in this world, right? We can read anything about the Bible we want, or we can read the Bible itself. And I would encourage you to read both. I would encourage you to read both because there are Christian authors that have great things to say, scholars that have studied the word deeply and can uncover a truth that maybe is hard to discern for yourself. But if you only read those things, you'll miss it. You'll miss something. Because this is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it this way: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Wow, that is so cool. And this word inspired really means God breathed, right? We have over 400 authors that wrote the Bible, but they were all human beings, but the words come from God right through them. And we have to look at culture and context and history and the type of literature that we're reading. But the story is the same. The story of God's word is that God loves you, and that God's mercies run deep, and that God has a way to live life. He has rules and he has order. God created order for you and I. If you think about any sport that you might play, if you think about basketball, when the ball goes out of the court, like, there's a line, right, that you can't play past. If that ball fouls, it goes out, you gotta, like, fetch it. Like, you're not gonna play all over the city, right? You're not gonna let it bounce down the hallway through a door and continue to keep it in play. God wants to keep us safe. And so he sets up different rules and order. I hope that you're reading the word. Last year, I looked up a Bible plan to read in 90 days, and it was pretty intense, so I read it in 6 months. But it was really good, right? If you can just read from cover to cover, there's so much to learn. And I told you before that I've been looking at God's faithfulness. That's my word of the year. And so every day I look for God's faithfulness. I look for God's faithfulness as I read scripture, and I look for God's faithfulness and people's faithfulness to him throughout each day. And I look to see how I'm being faithful and being called to be more faithful. So I bought a new Bible to do this study because, you know, what pastor doesn't want a new Bible, right? And it's a different translation than I've read before, so who doesn't want to read a little bit different translation for slightly different words for the exact same meaning? And so every time I see faithfulness, I see God's faithfulness, or I see a human's faithfulness in response to God, I mark it with a little F and put a little circle around it. I have a lot of Fs in my Bible. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine how many times God is faithful? In Genesis, he separates the darkness from the light. He breathes life into man. Before Cain and Abel, he warns Cain about the struggles that he's going to face. God's faithfulness is all around, warning and protecting and offering compassion and grace and love. We're in a really difficult time in our church right now, and whether you know it or not, a vote was taken this last week from the worldwide church. And about half of my friends think that was a really good vote, and about half of them think it was the worst thing that could ever happen to the church. That's quite division. And I would guess in this same room, people are feeling about the same. The question is it okay for lesbians and gay and transgender and queer, and you carry the question on, to be married? Is it okay for one that claims this identity and lives into it? Is a pastor? Is it okay? I have an opinion. So do you. But you know what I know? God loves every individual. Every lesbian, every gay, every straight, every person that has an affair outside of their marriage, every person that struggles with an addiction, every person that is hurting today, and everyone that is filled with joy. And we can read this book, and we can find the answers. But you and I might read it different. And we might see a different answer. So we're going to keep worshiping the Lord. And we're going to keep loving people and welcoming them into our congregation just as we have before. And there are conversations brewing, absolutely. And we'll have those conversations. And we'll ask the questions that come before us. Don't worry, we will. But I hope that we'll continue to be compassionate and kind as God calls us to love one another in the midst of our differences, and to serve the Lord wholeheartedly with grace and compassion. Would you pray with me? Most holy and merciful God, I thank you and praise your holy name. For you are King of all. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. You are the rescuer of our souls. Lord, you say that if we you say that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you raised us from that you were raised from the grave, that we will be saved. Lord, we come to you knowing that you are good, good Father, and that you love each and every one of us. And we stand by your commandments, and we stand by your order, and we stand by your love. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us this day. In Jesus' name. So hold on to him, the God of creation, Jesus Christ, the Savior of our souls, the Holy Spirit who works in and through us as we go about every day. And when you get discouraged and confused, flip open that holy book that is inspired by God, and you may be surprised the fresh wind, the fresh breath that breathes into your soul. Go in the peaceful and hope-filled and great love of our God and Father, Savior and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon podcast from the United Methodist Church of Mount Vernon, Iowa. For more of our podcast series and information on services, outreach, and Christian education, visit us online at www.umcmv.com. We hope you will continue listening to a portion of our ministry through these podcasts.